With us on the Steakhouse 9 to 11 every weekday morning on the Big Bad 100,000 watt station that is the home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United, and home of enormous Braves fans. None bigger than Sandy to my left here, right?
Pretty big.
And have been for how many years?
My daddy and I used to watch on TBS 100 years ago and just grew up. It's in my blood. Braves is in my blood.
Which is why you're excited to talk to this guy.
Listen, the man, the myth, the legend. That is. That's what I put on Twitter. That's right.
That's what you're calling him. Our friend Alex Anthopoulos joining us right now on The Steakhouse. Good morning, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, guys. I'm glad to be on. Excited you guys are back on the air. And I know you guys are going to ask me all kinds of stuff, but... I was driving into work, getting ready to go for the Mike Harris press conference, and I listened to sports radio, and I turned on the game, and you guys were on. And the segment you had where you talked about you were going out to dinner, and they had the Rays and the Yankees on, and you're like, how is the Braves game not on? We're fighting for first place and so on. And that's a total pet peeve of mine. Is I never have the guts to say anything because I can't, I think, in my position. But I was so excited that you're fighting the good fight on behalf of the teams, because there's so many times where I'm, whether it's a Hawks game or Falcons game and so on, I never understand why the local teams are not on if there's a game on.
Well, so. I appreciate it. It should just be a given as part of your role as a bartender if there are TVs. You know, we're not there to watch the Lifetime Channel, and we're definitely not there to watch, no disrespect to your Toronto Blue Jays back in the day, but we're there to have the local teams on.
Yep.
And it made me crazy, especially when it's like, you know, well, we were going to put it on. No, like, have it on, like, start at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and there's no thinking about it twice, right?
I totally agree. And I know you guys are obviously huge Atlanta sports fans, and I think that's part of just continuing to make this great city and a great place for sports teams. And I think all the teams are just, you know, the fan bases, I feel like it's starting to turn in terms of the perception of Atlanta and how good of a sports town it is.
I totally agree. We're one of the top six markets in America. We've just won two championships, and I think the passion. I mean, you build it through what happened last year, but I don't want to focus too much, even though we hadn't talked to you in a little while. I do want to focus a little bit on what you've done in the last 7 days, and then we can talk a little bit more about a few other things. But let's start with last night, though. That was a strange game for so many reasons. And one, I had an inkling at the end it may end in dramatic fashion with the Braves getting a win. What did you think of last night?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, separately, obviously there was a lot of talk last year about how we had the ice cream machine in the clubhouse. And when I was in Miami, Travis d'Arnaud came up to me and he said, could we get another soft-serve ice cream machine in the clubhouse? And I said, if you guys win 3 out of 4 against the Mets, the ice cream machine is back. So these guys were so fired up after we won the first two that, you know, tonight's obviously a big game for them. But, you know, it was close. It was exciting. Obviously, it was a tough start. And I thought the same way. I thought, you know what, we pull this game out, just the momentum and everything else. But, you know, you don't want to overweight one game, but we've been on a nice roll. We're playing well. Obviously, it's going to be tough tonight. But I think more importantly, I just felt like we got our swag back a little bit. You know, we had a rough series, obviously. We lost the 4 out of 5 in New York. And then to bounce back and end up with a 7-4 trip, to wait 8 in a row, you know, the mood and the atmosphere is really good right now with the team. So, you know, Fried will be back today, which is certainly exciting. Kyle Wright tomorrow. And getting those guys back will be big. So we're definitely excited about, you know, the remaining 6 weeks or so. And hopefully we can get a win tonight.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but there's already a lot of pressure on Max Fried tonight against Jacob deGrom. Do you think the ice cream machine is maybe not adding another element that could be overwhelming?
You know, I mean, I'll tell you this, like, whatever works, right? Like, I don't know what those things cost, but it's worth a win.
Yeah, all right.
So, you know, the one thing is when you look at Max, you want to talk about, you know, the biggest pressure for me was Game 6 last year after – you know, you lose Game 5, the momentum, there's that, oh boy, here we go again, Atlanta Sports, and you're going in to play the Astros at their park, and he steps up and has the game of his life. So the one thing with him is, you know, and he wanted this game. We certainly could have slotted him in tomorrow, but once he got cleared and he was cleared to pitch, he wanted to pitch tonight. So it's one guy you want on the mound, it's him. He's definitely been a big game guy, and he's come through for us, and it should be a whole lot of fun.
referencing last year for a second, because you just mentioned it, and I want to play a cut from Kirby Smart, because I really believe that you could apply it to maybe the way you are handled. And no question, you're revered in this town. You're given, as rightfully so, a ton of credit for what happened in October and November last year. But here's Kirby, who had similar end of the season, like you, with a ring and a championship. Tell me what you think of this and whether it applies to your life since you've won the title. Here he is.
You know, and I've told our players, I want you to do an exercise for me. Every time somebody says congrats, thanks, awesome year, ask yourself, what have I done today to prepare myself for tomorrow or this next season?
I'm sure you hear a lot of that over the last 9 months or so. So is there something you can relate to hearing that all the time as Kirby does?
100%. You know, he came. I hadn't met him. Obviously, this is year five for me in Atlanta. And I hadn't met him before or talked to him before, but he came to a Braves game with his family early in the season. He came down to Snit's office, and we were all in there. We were like fans, just excited to meet him, you know? And, you know, the one thing that the one thing he asked us was, you could tell it was on his mind, was just the concern of, the you know, being complacent, and how do you keep that edge and how do you keep the drive. And it's something I thought about a ton in the off season as well. But we did tell him that in our experiences, again, it was nice to celebrate everything, but that first week or 2 weeks and the championship week and everything else, it was awesome to experience. But at some point we needed to move on and get going with 2022. And we thought it had an effect. And again, you're not complaining. Those are things you'd sign up for each year. But he's right. I mean, I definitely view it that way in my role. Look, what was eye-opening to me was you win three divisions in a row. Last year, obviously, we got off to a terrible start. And you're reminded fast. Like, no one remembers or no one cares what you did. It wasn't like, they won three divisions in a row. No, we'll give them a break. You feel the heat. You feel the pressure overall when you're not when you don't perform and you don't produce. And that's not a complaint. That's just the reality of life, you know. And you feel like if you don't – I definitely feel this way. As much as, you know, we've won four divisions, won a World Series, all those things, it's old news like 2 weeks after the fact. And you'd love to say you'd be able to ride that wave for four or five more years. But I think, look, the majority of every sports town is the same way. It's very demanding, and especially Atlanta. I said this a day ago at the Mike Harris press conference. Like, the minute you slip, people, in my opinion, will tune you out. And that's fine. But if you perform, they will turn out in droves. They will support you. So I definitely operate with fear, fear of failing, feeling of not being successful, fear of being embarrassed, right? You're dropping your kids off at school. You're going to events. You know, everyone associates you with the job. And you know that you let a lot of people down if you're not having a good product and so on. So you know, I was asked about the sustainability piece. And there's definitely an element of fear and stress there. You're like, I need to keep this thing going. The battery's on fire. The ballpark is on fire. If we don't do our jobs as a baseball operations group, that whole thing ends up falling apart.
Well, I guess, yeah, you have to have that mindset. But I would ask you, how many times and how surprised have you been over the course of the last many months, how appreciative and emotional and gracious folks are that you delivered them something that they waited decades for? Were you surprised at how much it meant to people emotionally?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I get the chills even when you talk about it, just because I think about just like the genuine, sincere, the overall passion, how people just they truly thank you for, you know, bringing a championship to the city, you know, bringing them joy day in and day out. And that's the, you know, it's a little corny, but it's true. That's the most rewarding part of this job. I think when you become a GM, it's like, wow, this is great. It's the next step from AGM, and hopefully we're going to win and all those things. But I think once you see how a community can get transformed and a community can rally together and come together, and there's a sense of pride. You're instilling so much pride with the name Atlanta, with the South, with the state of Georgia, and everyone walks a little taller and feels better. And knowing that the power of sports and the power of specifically the Braves brand, and you can have an impact on that, is really incredible to see. So a lot of people, whether it's going out to eat, whether I'm at the airport, I definitely notice it more now that I say my first few years I could go wherever and no one knows who I am. And now I'm noticing a little more if I'm at the airport and so on, more people might come up to me. But everyone's always incredibly polite and very, very thankful at the same time for just the success that we've had.
Alex Anthopoulos with us, general manager of the Braves, joining us on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When you make a decision to sign Michael Harris to the long-term deal, I'm really curious when the conversations within the organization, he gets called up early this year. He hadn't spent a ton of time in the minors. He missed an entire year because of COVID. When does it start to say we may need to do the Austin Riley, Aussie Ronald treatment? Because you have to, it's a small sample size, but you have to be confident that this is worth that kind of a commitment. How early did that conversation begin this season?
And Alex, even back to spring training, when you said yesterday, we told him we're not trading you early on.
Yeah. So, you know, since I've been here, it's only twice I've told teams that, you know, we're not trading someone. Acuna was when I first got to Atlanta, and I hadn't seen him play, but everybody told me how good he was, and it's the one guy we weren't going to talk about in trade. Everyone else, we would at least, you know, we wouldn't hang up the phone, and we'd be open-minded to hearing what a team had to say. Harris was the same one this past offseason, where he's the one guy we're not going to talk about in trade. We'll talk about anybody else, and that doesn't mean we don't value the other players. We do, and obviously there's a high bar to clear to trade certain guys, but those are the only two players I've ever said since I've been here in the 5 years. We're not talking about those guys. They're off the table. You could put those guys aside. So after we made the Olsen deal, you know, there's obviously it's in spring training. All the players are there. The prospects are there in spring training. Everyone's, you know, their head's spinning a little bit, right? Prospects are going out the door. Shea Langeliers is in camp. So people are saying goodbyes, this and that. So I just got the sense that people are like, whoa, what just went on here? You know, these guys, it's in the middle of spring. Guys are there and so on. And I remember seeing Mike Harris, and I was just telling him, I am not trading you. You are not going anywhere. You're going to be here for a long time. And he didn't say much. He doesn't say much when you talk to him. And he just kind of gave me a blank stare. But I wanted him to know that you're a part of this, and we really believe in you. And, look, in terms of having him long term, we always believed in him. Obviously, for us to not even make him available in trade is a telling statement. So the goal was always to have him here long term, and I do believe this is where he should be. This is where he should play. It means a lot to him to be here, and obviously he's a fantastic player. You know, beyond that, but you know, I do. Another part of the thing that I stress about at the same time is keeping the players here for, you know, the long period of time. And you have guys like Austin Riley, and obviously Dansby Swanson and Harris and Max Fried, and obviously the other guys that have signed like Acuna, Albies, and so on. You want to be able to keep these guys long-term. They're great guys. They're great players. The fans are getting attached to them, as they should. And, you know, you don't want to be that team that's letting all these guys walk out the door. Now, you have to be smart about it. And you have to be responsible about it and still put a winning team on the field and make sure that it works. And you could fit all these guys in, because one player will not make or break you, especially in our sport when you're running out 26 guys. But I do think it's important with the way the payroll's climbing and so on and the success that we're having. Once we identify these guys and we know them, we know the character, the work ethic, and all those things, if we think we have a shot to get these guys signed long-term and they get to be here, I think it's really, really important. And those are some of the things that keep me up at night. Because you know, you feel responsibility to the fan base, to the community, to the organization, to be able to keep these guys here.
Well, we talked about the Yankees and having just watched the captain, but Jeter, Posada, Pettit, Bernie and Mariano Rivera. I mean, there are other guys that came in and out. And I said, listen, Braves have locked up first base, second base, third base, right field, center field, and then, you know, three starters. Reminds me growing up being a baseball fan where you kind of knew the team's roster. I could name every team in the league because there wasn't a lot of turnover. That is not modern day baseball.
No, you're right. And it's getting harder to keep these cores together and these groups together. And look, the goal is for these guys to get more expensive, right? And these guys to make more money, because that means they're producing on the field. That means we're winning games. But you've seen it with other clubs. At some point, the core keeps getting better and better, and they're worth more. And it's harder to keep them all together and still have a competitive team and fill out your team full of 26. So, you know, it's always a balance in terms of your payroll and so on. And we're now in the top 10 from a payroll standpoint. But part of that is, look, we have to take a little bit more risk and maybe do some of these deals a little earlier. And we take the risk because we don't know. There could be health. There could be performance.
Right.
But, you know, if that allows us to, you know, build a roster and keep these guys, it's a calculated risk. But it's with the thought of being able to keep all these guys and to have a core. And, you know, hopefully it does not guarantee anything, but we know these are talented guys. We know they're quality guys. And, you know, rather than allocating those dollars to players that we don't know, whether that's trade or free agency, it makes sense for us to invest in our own guys.
A couple of quick things, finishing up with Alex Anthopoulos, who's gracious enough to join us here on the Steakhouse. Are you worried about Jake Odorizzi?
I mean, look, his first three starts, I mean, stating the obvious, they have not been sharp. He'd be the first one to end up telling you that. It was encouraging that he did settle down at the end. He's had success in his career. He's had a long career. He's had success. He had a 370 with the Astros before he came over. So you don't know how much a part of this is new club, new league, new, you know, just all of it getting settled in. But it was encouraging that, you know, obviously he gave up the home runs, and then he did start to finally find himself a little bit and settle in. So there's no doubt he's a lot better than he's pitched in terms of his career. That goes without saying. But at the same time, you know, the facts are the facts that, you know, they haven't been strong starts, but it's certainly in there based on his career.
Any notion of what progress continues to look like for Mike Soroka and what that could mean for September and postseason?
Yeah, so we didn't know, you know, and I even told Mike, we knew we weren't going to have any answers on him at the end of July. And I told Mike that, you know, we don't know where you're going to be by the end of July. It was just too soon. So I said, I just don't know how the trade deadline is going to shake out, what the roster is going to look like, what the rotation is going to look like, and so on. And he completely understood. He just knew, obviously, he needed to get right himself, and this was a long-term move for him in terms of his career going forward. And I told him, I said, we need you as much for 23 and 24 going forward. So the first outing in Rome was great, even better than I think we all would have expected. Now, you take some of it with a grain of salt because it's high A, but the people that were there said the stuff was outstanding, the strikes. And because it had been so long, I think we forgot how good he was. And this guy was, you know, Cy Young conversation 2019 and how young he still is. So, you know, the plan right now would be, we're going to continue to get him stretched out, continue to give him starts. He'll get to Gwinnett and he'll pitch with them. But, you know, as he's having success and hopefully continues to have more success, if he's one of the best options for us, he's going to pitch.
Marcelo Ozuna concerned, obviously, and trying to make some tough decisions postseason-wise down the line as well on him and guys like Grissom and Ozzie's return. Just a quick overview on some of those guys.
Yeah, so, well, he hasn't had a strong year as well. The power's been there in terms of the home runs, but the average and everything else hasn't been there. He's lost playing time, obviously, the last few games. Snit's going with the hot hand. You know, a guy like Robbie Grossman's playing really well. Vaughn Grissom's playing really well. And, you know, this happened last year, whether it was Jock was starting for us and Eddie Rosario was on the bench. And then eventually, you know, that was flipped where Jock sat and Eddie Rosario played. You know, so I think, you know, Snit, the one thing he's been very, you know, he's done this each year. He's playing the best player. So the guys that are playing the best, that doesn't mean that guys can't bounce back and get hot. Like I said, Jock lost his starting job, and he was an all-star this past year. So, you know, I think with all these guys, Orlando, RC, Ozzie, and so on, as they come back, we'll find a way to make things work. But even though we talk about what are we going to do 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, when guys get back, we always remind ourselves that things are going to change. Someone's not going to perform. Someone's going to get hurt. And some of this takes care of itself. So you'd love to have an issue where you have too many good players and you don't have playing time. That's a great problem to have. And obviously, I hope we're going to have that discussion about playoffs and so on. I still have the mindset of we need to get in.
Yep.
And I know how quickly things can change, so I never assume anything, even though we're playing well and we're in a playoff position now. I still never lose sight of the fact that it could vanish at any time, and we need to continue to keep our foot on the gas.
Going to be a magical night tonight with a phenomenal matchup. And now we know the ice cream machine's on the line. Everything is at stake here. So it should be fun. I hope to see you down there. And thank you for being always so gracious and joining us. And we look forward to having you on the show down the line.
All right, guys. Really glad to be on.
Thank you, buddy.